we want to talk about victory or defeat. And today's discussion deals with this very practical and very real question. In looking at victory or defeat, I want to start off with a story about one of the greatest commanders, army commanders and leaders in the world. And of course, that's Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great's first battle was actually when he was 18 years old. And he was a genius, battle commander. He would go into battles that many times the odds were against them, but they would come out victorious. So from 18 years old, he started his career. And for 15 years onward, from that point onward, Alexander the Great conquered the world, never losing a single battle. That's a key point. His soldiers became accustomed to victory. That's all they knew. That's all they experienced. What was it like for a soldier to go into battle under Alexander the Great, with him as the commander? That in itself alone gave them this boost. Like, they felt that they had this almost supernatural leader, so to speak, who never lost a battle. So even their experience through the battle, whether trials, whether there were some people who were lost, but the outcome was always a win for them. And so their confidence and their assurance as time went on because of their experience was increased more and more every time they came to face a new enemy. They never tasted defeat so long as Alexander was their leader, and each victory only increased their confidence and their morale. Now, this is an incredible and powerful lesson for us here today, because I just pictured in my mind what it must have been like to be a soldier in Alexander's army. You just knew you're going in to win. And they knew before the battle started, it didn't matter which enemy they were facing. It didn't matter what numbers were up against, even if they were outnumbered. It didn't matter who was the commander of the opposite army. It didn't matter what nation it was or if it was a more superior nation. Alexander's soldiers knew that going into battle under Alexander meant they were going to win no matter what. That is a very, very powerful boost, and it actually served to a large degree in ensuring the outcome that actually ended up happening many times. Inversely, I want you to also picture the attitude and the mindset of the enemy soldiers who were going to meet Alexander and his undefeated army. Imagine how they would approach the battle. Oh, here, this is Alexander now. He defeated this one and the other one and the previous one, and now it's us. And there is a certain questioning. There is a certain doubt or wondering. So, were the soldiers of Alexander the key to success to winning these battles? Were the soldiers of Alexander more courageous or more brave or stronger than all the other soldiers? No, not at all. The key was actually Alexander himself. He was a fearless leader. He was a genius battle strategist. And he was not afraid to take risks and lead fearlessly. And lead from the front, as the saying goes. He would go into the thick of battle. There was a certain belief that his soldiers thought that that he's invincible. And so long as they followed him, they would just win. And that's actually what happened time after time. So it didn't matter who they were facing. They went into battle with this knowledge, with this assurance that they were going to come out victorious. And that's what happened time after time. The reason why I'm saying this is because it has such wonderful lessons for us. Our first text is in 2 Timothy, and it draws a parallel here that I wanted to link with this particular story. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. And this is the parallel that likens our situation to that. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Paul writing says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So, very clearly here, Paul says that we are as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. There is a certain measure of hardness to endure, but we need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have a conquering leader and commander in Jesus Christ, one who has never lost a battle. How are we as soldiers in his army? And especially, how is our mindset? How is our attitude and how is our approach to certain battles and certain wars when we have Christ as the leader? This is the question I want to challenge each and every one of us with today. Because what is it like to go into battle under a victorious commander? The soldiers of Alexander knew and experienced that. Is that a reflection of our experience in our spiritual battle as well? Because that's the question, that's the challenge. How are we doing as soldiers? Paul here indicates that there will be hardness to endure, that there will be challenges, there will be trials. But he says you need to endure them as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Alexander's army faced many challenges, many trials, many hardships, but it never deterred their mindsets and their outlook and their confidence in their leader in winning a battle. Sometimes they would march for incredible amounts of distances under harsh conditions to arrive at the other end tired to meet a fresh enemy, and they would go into battle and they would defeat that enemy. So this is such an amazing picture. I just find that so encouraging to consider that picture. Here is a worldly example of a physical battle in the world, you know, people in the battlefield, and this is how they were. How much more for us? How are you doing as a soldier of Jesus Christ? That's the question. How is your status as a soldier under this commander? Are you looking to the commander or are you looking elsewhere? Because our mindset, our outlook before the battle determines to a large degree what the outcome of the battle is for us personally, whether we stay with the leader or whether we wander and stray. And so this is the key. And I'm thinking of another story that I want to share with you. And we all know what's going on in the world now. We're all experiencing the difficulty, the trial. And there are many people who are looking to the future with a certain amount of foreboding, a certain amount of uncertainty. That's a nice one, right? A certain amount of uncertainty. It's like we can be certain of the uncertainty that's going on. There is a lot of unknown, even though we know prophecy, even though we understand what the outcome is. There is a wondering, how will it play out? And it has an impact. It has an impact on our daily walk. And this is what I want to challenge. This is what I want to deal with this morning together. Our next verse, the story that comes to mind that really gives us a key to this preparation of the heart and the mind beforehand, is the story of the three Hebrew boys recorded in Daniel chapter 3. So I'll put that up and we'll read these verses. Daniel 3 verses 16 to 18. Here it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This famous story, you're familiar with it, image that everyone was to bow down to with a threat of death if they did not bow down and worship the image. Here we see these three Hebrew boys, good soldiers of Jesus Christ, in this particular battle. You can see their mindset, you can see their determination, you can see their commitment, even if it meant death. And they had every confidence in their leader, in their conquering leader that he's able to deliver. Because that's a question Nebuchadnezzar just asked them, you know, which God is going to be able to deliver it from my hand? And they were like, look, well, you know, our God is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. But either way, we will not serve this image. We will not worship your gods or your idols. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He threw them into the fire. But the key here that I want to focus on is this. These three Hebrew boys had set their heart and their mind beforehand, before the crisis happened, before the circumstance, the showdown had happened. They had already determined and fixed in their mind what the outcome was going to be as far as they were concerned, what they would do or what they would not do. And this is the key. They did not wait for the confrontation or for the conflict to occur, and then they decide, well, what are we going to do? You know, they didn't stand at the base of the image and say, well, what do you guys think? I'm standing, I'll meet you. That's not the picture we get. They went into this thing already determined and prepared because they were following their leader. The outcome was set in their mind. You see, their battle on the plain of Dura was actually won a long time before. It wasn't won when they were talking to the king and all that happened. It was won in their preparation, in their mindset, in their outlook on these situations beforehand. A very important lesson for us. Now we see an insight to that earlier in the chapter. If you remember in chapter 1 of Daniel, it actually says that Daniel, of course his friends are kind of included there because they all did the same thing, had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. A purposing in the heart, a determination before meeting the situation, before going into the battle, there is a certain mindset, a determination, a purposing of heart. Very much like the soldiers of Alexander. They had determined in their mind, in their heart, before they even met the enemy, before they saw the number of the enemy, that they are winning. They are winners. They will follow Alexander to death. That was the key to their success. No matter what happens, they would follow him, and they were guaranteed victory. The key here, brothers and sisters, very simply is this. Many times, we have an outlook on the future that is uncertain, and we borrow trouble, and it impacts our mindset and our heart. They're like, how will I react when this happens? Or how will I react when that happens? What will I do here? What will I do there? Or maybe, well, I'll just wait and see what happens, and I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. We'll wait and see, and when I get there, then I will decide. That is a dangerous attitude. Very dangerous. Because it fails to take into account the heart preparation that is needed now. We need to determine to fix our mind and our heart now. We need to focus our attention and have the mindset and the determination of following the leader no matter what might happen, because the battle is not actually won or determined when the confrontation happens. It's determined and won beforehand. We see that with the story of these three boys. And of course, you know the rest of the story. They were thrown in the fire. They were not delivered from the fire as the king challenged. And as they said that their God was able to do, God did not deliver them from the fire. He actually delivered them in the fire and through the fire. It's not likely that they even expected that scenario. The king thought, see, they're not delivered, but my soldiers, because he got them tied up and heated up the fiery furnace there. And that's it. They're not delivered. They're in the fire. It's done. But God came through in an unexpected manner. But the key was, these boys were good soldiers. They had determined and fixed in their mind beforehand what the outcome was as far as they were concerned. And then the details didn't bother them, didn't deter them, and they didn't matter. And there was a glorious victory for them. Such a vital lesson for us, because we will also face a very similar circumstance in the last days. A circumstance that we cannot actually predict the exact details of. We can't predict what the scenario will be. And many times in sitting down and thinking about all these scenarios and trying to predict them, we borrow trouble because many times we feel, well, maybe I'm not quite ready for that. I'm not sure how I'll react. And the battle can be lost in here long before we actually face the circumstance itself. This is the danger, and this is the point that I want to remind each and every one of us here today. If you remember, the children of Israel actually failed on this particular point. The children of Israel sent spies into the promised land. The report came back that these enemies in the promised land were giants and they were big, and their hearts started failing. They started doubting. They already lost the battle then and there. They didn't wait for the confrontation to happen. They lost it because in their mind, in their heart, they were no longer good soldiers of Jesus Christ. They were no longer confident in their leader, that no matter what, the leader says, this is where we're going, and they were behind him. They started looking to themselves, they started looking to the enemy, and in their mind and in their heart, they lost the battle. And that's exactly what ended up happening. When confrontation did take place, they lost, they ended up spending 40 years more in the wilderness as a result of that. So, the battle is determined long before the battle is actually joined. It is determined by the mindset, by the heart, by the commitment now, beforehand, and the preparation beforehand, not when the heat is turned up. That's a key point I want to keep in mind. So many people fail because we wait until the temptation comes, until the battle is on, to see what kind of reaction, what kind of response we will have, and whether it will go this way or whether it will go that way. And that's a sure formula for failure, something to watch for. The other component here I don't want to neglect to mention is that the attitude and the mindset of the people is something that is very infectious. It's something that is very contagious. When the people of Israel were discouraged and feared, all of a sudden that discouragement and fear spread through the camp quickly, like you know, a contagious disease, like a coronavirus almost. If you take some of the statistics and the way some people are saying this thing is spreading, so disheartened, discouraged, fearful, we will lose. It just spreads. And this is a key that we need to remember as well. Our attitude doesn't just only affect us, but it affects others as well. In like manner and inversely, and this is an encouragement to courage, and this positive mindset is also infectious. It just depends. What are we throwing off? What are we actually sharing? What are we contaminating others with? Are we contaminating them with something that is negative, or are we contaminating them with something that is positive? What determines that is where we are in our hearts now. How is our standing now? What is our outlook of the future now? There are so many people, I've had so many discussions with people in light of the current circumstances. There are people that are very concerned about what is going to happen. Now, I have a certain measure of concern as well. I don't know everything that will happen, but I find that there is a certain attitude of like borrowing trouble. Or if this happens or if that happens, and people are already deciding in their mind what they will concede or what they can allow and all the different ways out. I want to tell you something. That is not the way that Alexander's soldiers went into battle. They didn't go into battle thinking, look, we're going to try and win this thing. But if not, here is the way out and we can escape over here and we can always retreat from behind that hill. And this is plan B. Okay, guys, so we go in. You know what? If they went into battle with that attitude, they would have lost that battle. They went into that battle with no plan of retreat, escape, or what happens if we lose. They went into the battle. The only outcome in their mind was victory. That's the only outcome. They had set their heart on that. So long as they followed Alexander, they knew victory was where they would arrive. No other option. How is your heart? How is your mindset? How is your attitude now regarding the trouble that we can see is approaching? It's a lot closer now than it was maybe before this pandemic and this trouble and this crisis. We're seeing it approaching. How is it affecting our mindset now? The children of Israel failed on this very point. And despite the efforts of Joshua and Caleb to encourage them and really boost their morale, the infection of discouragement had spread and taken hold of the people, and they failed. The amazing thing also I find is that Jesus did the very same thing. In the book of Isaiah, oh, we still have our verse up there, so we'll go to our next verse. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 to 8. Well, verse 6 and 7, rather. We won't go to 8. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, Jesus speaking prophetically through Isaiah. He says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Here is Christ's attitude when facing trouble. He gave his back to the smiters. He went through this torture, through this pain, through this whole experience. But what he did, what he says here, he knew God would help him. And so he set his face like a flint. That basically tells you he had a determination. He had a predetermination. A commitment beforehand of what the outcome would be as far as he was concerned and how he would stand regardless of what happened. That is how Christ actually accomplished victory when he went through this trial, through the Garden of Gethsemane, through this torturous experience with these people, and then finally on the cross. The outcome for that battle, brothers and sisters, was determined long before Jesus came to that battle. It was determined when he had set his eyes steadfastly on God, and he says, I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. I know the outcome following God. And he set himself to that. So whatever scenario happened, if they spat in his face, they smote him, whatever they cooked up, whatever unexpected circumstance he found himself in, that did not change what was in his mind, what was in his heart, his determination. He was steadfast because he knew God was with him. This was the leader that he was following. This is who he kept his eyes on. Powerful lesson for us, because Paul tells Timothy, we need to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a good soldier? A good soldier is a confident soldier because he has a victorious, non-defeated commander and leader. How is our attitude approaching this crisis, the end of the world crisis? Now, we should be able to understand why a number of people are concerned. Maybe you're concerned because the Bible warns us that it's a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. That's pretty serious. That's pretty heavy. And so some people think, okay, well, you know what? What's my preparation? They start looking to themselves. They start thinking of themselves. How will I do? What if they do this? What if they do that? I'm not sure if I'll be able to handle this. I'm not sure if I'll be able to handle that. And that battle is determined already in so many people's minds. Or do we approach the battle knowing that Jesus is telling us, listen, this next battle we're going into is going to be a really tough one, but I am leading here. Just keep your eyes on me. Be a good soldier of mine. You see, when we are called good soldiers of Jesus Christ, the emphasis and the focus is not on us. The emphasis and the focus is on the leader. He is the one leading the battle. Our confidence is not in our preparation and our, I've done everything right, okay, so bring it on. I've got my supplies, or I've got my escape route. I've got my place in the countryside where they won't be able to find me to jab me with a needle, or whatever the scenario we cook up in our head might be. We're trying to guess at what scenario will play out. The confidence of a good soldier of Jesus Christ is in Jesus Christ, regardless of what the enemy might throw. Because the battle, brothers and sisters, is not won at that time. It is won here and now. How we enter in is what determines how we come out. Let us not borrow trouble and determine outcomes for us that are negative now before we even face the trouble. Those Hebrew boys had determined, before they left their home that morning, before they went to the plane, they had determined what they were going to do in that situation already. When they went there, the threats of the king and the noise and everything that was around, it didn't change or affect their determination. That battle was won already long before they stood before the king, long before they were thrown in the fire. That's a powerful, powerful key. So, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's not borrow trouble from what will come. Let us focus on the commander, the victorious commander. We are changed by beholding. The longer we look at something, the more we are changed by that something. The longer we gaze on what will happen and if it's the trouble and if it's all these scenarios, it will affect us. It will impact us. So the battle is won first and foremost in the mind. So what is your mindset? What is your outlook? Where are you looking? To the leader? Or what the enemy will throw our way. Because the enemy will throw things that we don't even expect. That's why we need to keep our eyes on our leader. Our next verse is 1 John 5:5. And here is how the Lord puts it for us in this encouraging verse. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Here is the victory that overcomes the world. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Overcoming the world. What does that mean? Everything that is encompassed in this phrase, the world. This is not saying overcoming this battle, overcoming this circumstance, overcoming this legislation, this restriction, this law, this rule, whatever it might be. This is not what it's dealing with. It's dealing with a whole package, overcoming the whole world. Now, another verse tells us what's encompassed in the whole world, and here's what it means. Let's look at it. 1 John 2:15 to 17. The apostle says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So this is the key. The world, all that is in the world, overcoming the world is overcoming all these lusts. The lusts of the eyes, the pride of life, all the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh. All these elements are in the world, in whatever scenario, in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation will be thrown. We overcome the world, brothers and sisters, by faith in the Son of God. That is the leader. It's a mindset. It's an approach to the battle, knowing that the battle is already won because we have the leader, we have the commander who has already overcome the world. Jesus actually said that, and I want to put these three verses together and present you with an alternative scenario based on these verses as far as what will come in the world. But I'll read it for you. Jesus spoke to the disciples and encourage them. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's in John 16 and verse 33. Here is Jesus putting all these things together. Who overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, believing in our commander, in who he is as the Son of God. What is contained in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all the different scenarios that Satan might throw at us, because the devil is the god of this world. And Jesus says, listen, you're going to need to overcome the devil and all his toys. This is on a personal level as far as temptation and sin. We're going to come to that. But also on a more physical level as far as circumstances that we will be placed in, that we'll be trying, that will be challenging. There will be a means whereby the world will try and hinder or steal our faith, take our eyes off Christ, and cause us to stumble and fall. Whatever it might be, Jesus has foreseen all of this. And he says, listen, in the world, you're going to have trouble. There will be circumstances that are trying. That's why Paul told Timothy, endure hardness, that's trouble, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But don't forget that you're a soldier of someone. You're not alone. You're not enduring hardness alone. And this is the same kind of soldier language that Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The advantage that we have with Christ that is infinitely greater than Alexander is the fact that Christ has gone into these battles ahead of us already, and he has already won the battle. It's not like we're following a commander who is good, that he's won, he's got a good track record, and so he will win the next one. He actually has gone ahead of us. He has won that battle that is coming, and he gives us that victory already. He says, listen, you'll have trouble, things will challenge you, but remember something. Be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. Boy, that should do wonders for our approach, for our attitude, for our commitment, for our confidence, knowing that we are dealing with a defeated enemy because Christ has already won the battle. Now, Jesus says here, be of good cheer. What does that mean? Set your attitude and your heart and your mind with a certain mindset, one that is cheerful, one that is joyful, one that is positive, one that is victorious, one that is confident. That's what he means. In essence, Jesus is saying, the battle over the world for you personally is won because I won the world, and you need to be of good cheer. You need to have confidence in my victory. Christ is basically saying that your victory through this time of trouble that will come in the very end, and the time of trouble such as never was, is by your attitude and by your mindset right now. Is it of cheer or is it of tribulation? Is it of cheer because you know the commander has already won and you have that confidence in him? You are a soldier that belongs to him. Whatever the world might throw, he has already defeated. That's a great boost. This is where we need to look. This is where our confidence needs to be. Regardless of what scenario it might be, if you determine in your mind now and make a commitment that as a good soldier of Christ, whatever the devil will throw has already been accomplished and defeated in the life of Christ, which you possess as a believer, then when you approach that battle, it's already determined as far as you're concerned. Whatever might be cooked up. Brothers and sisters, we need to be real with each other. We are going to face trouble that we cannot even imagine or conceive. And if we sit and try and decipher what it might be and which ways we might, concede certain things and try and survive and make sure we make it through there in the easiest way possible, we will not win. Because winning is a hard achievement. It's not done through the easy, natural way of our preferences. If we try and make life easy for us and what we prefer, just go, roll with it and just, not make too much trouble. I'm not saying make trouble, but the human attitude of trying to take the easy way is not the way of victory. It's the way of a soldier saying, well, I'm not going to fight at the front of the battle. I'll just go over here where there's not as much activity. I'll just hang around the back. This is not a good soldier. A good soldier just keeps his eye on the commander, knowing victory is accomplished no matter what. No matter if you are facing an enemy that is superior to you in number or in strength, because Christ has already defeated that enemy. What I'm talking about quite simply is, how is our attitude now? How is our approach now to the coming trouble? Are we borrowing trouble and already making concessions before we even face? Or are we determined? Are we set like Jesus? Our face is set like a flint. We are of good cheer, knowing we're going into this thing confident. there are so many people looking on the time of trouble that is coming with not a great amount of confidence, with a little bit of a shaky type of feeling, with a little bit of, I'm not sure, I hope I make it. As a matter of fact, there are so many people who look on the time of trouble and say, and I've had conversations with people who say, you know what, I just hope the Lord will put me to sleep. I'm not going to be able to make it through that time. Or I'm going to be one of those people that God will just have to let me, you know, sleep in death because, you know, I picture this scene of torture or this scenario of difficulty and I can't handle it. And no, I'm going to have to be one of these people that God will put to sleep. I don't know if you heard that before. Maybe you think that. Don't put your hand up. I don't want to know. But I know that this is an attitude that exists out there. Brothers and sisters, if everybody felt this way, who are the people who are going to go through a time of trouble? If everybody was of that outlook, it's going to be too hard for me, the Lord will put me to sleep and save me. And He can do that, and He'll do that for many people. Then where are the people who are of the mindset of, we're going to go through this because we're following Christ, we will set our face like a flint, we are of good cheer, we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Where are those people? That's my question. Because Christ is not going to go through this on His own. He's already won that battle. The key now is for Him to take His people through this trial. The Hebrew boys determine their outcome by their mindset and attitude long before they face the battle. The Israelites lost entrance into the promised land long before they faced the enemy because their attitude and mindset beforehand was a defeatist mindset. A mindset of easy way, too hard, can't handle it, we will lose, they will kill us. How is your attitude today? And I'm not trying to downplay what's coming. What's coming is worse than we can imagine, okay? Just to be plain, we're well aware of that. Jesus told us that. And He told us that not to discourage us. He told us that beforehand to encourage us to say, listen, there's going to be trouble. But remember this one thing. Whatever will be thrown your way, as far as the world is concerned, as far as Satan is concerned, I've already done it. I've already dealt with it. I've already overcome it. This is the commander that we have, brothers and sisters. God wants a people in the last days to look on the coming trouble with a certain determination and confidence in the commander that will not cause any doubt, any fear, any hesitation, any wavering, any trying to find an easy way out, anything of the sort, but will be of such a mindset and a heart that God can use them to work mighty miracles like He did with the Hebrew boys to bring the attention of Babylon to the true God and to His truth. This is really the key. This is what's at stake. It's not about us. It's about the commander that we follow. This is the battle. So this is a point to keep in mind that I really want to encourage for us, because I've spoken to so many people about the coming trouble, all the scenarios. I'm not going to go through them all, but all the potential scenarios of what these evil men in the world can do, and oh, they're so evil, they're so in control, and we're the net is tightening and it's getting close, and we start thinking like we are fish caught in the enemy's net, and we try and make a way out somehow, and that's all we can see. Listen, God's in control. Christ is our commander. He owns the world and He defeated the world. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. All these evil men with all their positions and all the plans and all the laws that they want to implement and pass and terrify us with, God is in control. And He wants us to remember that. How is our attitude? How is our mindset? How is our heart now, today? Are we already losing that battle before it even starts? That's the question. And that's the challenge. And like I said, in my discussions with people, you kind of get an idea of where people's mindset is at. There is an alarming and spreading sense of foreboding, worry, concern in the ranks of Christ's soldiers that we need to wake up and realize, where are we really looking? That's the challenge. So this practical problem is a real one, but we are more than conquerors. Let's read the next verse. It's been put up our next verse here. And Romans 8:37. Is it possible to actually overcome whatever the enemy will throw at us? Here it is. Paul says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How is our attitude? This is something that is written before the actual confrontation of conquering occurs. We not only are conquerors, we are more than conquerors. The best that Alexander's soldiers could hope for to become is conquerors. They would conquer another nation, another country, another city, and they would conquer that and it becomes theirs. But the Christian, only the Christian, under the leadership of Christ, can be more than a conqueror. That means you overcome above and beyond. You supersede all expectation, more than a conqueror. Only the leadership of Christ allows that. Now here's the thing. This is not just conquering sin and victory over sin. We're talking about victory over sin, and the approach and attitude to sin is in the same way. And I want to express that briefly here. It also deals with trouble physically that comes to us in the world. These regulations, restrictions, rules, whatever it is that might be imposed on us, more than conquerors through Him who loved us. What does that mean? That means that God will deliver us every single time out of the fire furnace. Very possible. God is able and can do that. But even if He wouldn't, that doesn't mean we are defeated. The problem is, we look at some of these things and we try and survive somehow. Let's try and survive as long as possible, because that's winning. The key, brothers and sisters, is not about survival. The key is, are we following the leader? There are some people who will go through a certain circumstance and trial that will result in their death. We need to be ready for that. It's reality. But if we're already prepared, if we're already given our life to Christ, our life is hid with Christ, we are dead. We no longer live. It's Christ that lives. Then that's not the desired outcome that we look for as far as, I want to make sure I survive. I want to make sure I'm following the leader. That's the only path to being more than a conqueror, even if it's going through death, because even death has been defeated. You know, Christ has done above and beyond to encourage us. He says, listen, the world, everything, the devil defeat death, even death, you're worried about death, no problem. He went and defeated death, came back, says, I'm the resurrection and the life. What are you worried about? Forget people trying to restrict you, people come and jab you with a needle, put a chip in your head or in your hand or what. All these scenarios for death, death, what about people who are killing you? What about death? Jesus says, listen, I've defeated death, don't worry. Even if you have to face death, don't worry. Remember, I'm your commander. What's your mindset? What's your attitude? Be of good cheer facing death, facing the worst trouble that will hit the world. Where is your mindset? Where is your heart, your mind? This is where the battle is determined, brothers and sisters. So I want to encourage you with that, because many times we're looking at the wrong place. We look at the news. We hear the reports. We talk to people. We feel the concern. We see what's happening. The net is tightening. Uh-oh, where are we going to go? Where are we going to escape? This is what occupies our attention, what's in front of us all the time. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Where are you looking? The battle, how is it determined for you now, currently? In dealing with temptation and sin, let me deal with that in the next verse. So let's go to our next verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14, because this is closely associated and the same principle applies. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Here is Paul's determination. Here is Paul's confidence. He was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. Thank God. He's full of cheer. He's full of gratitude. He's full of praise. That's his mindset. That's his outlook. Why? Because God always causes us to triumph in Christ. His victory is assured in Christ. He says, so long as we're following Christ, God always gives us the victory of Christ, because Christ accomplished all the victories that we need. So Paul approached circumstances. Paul approached trials. Paul approached challenges with this attitude of gratitude, confidence, and assurance that whatever he will face, God has already given him the victory in Christ. All he has to do and worry about is not how he will deal with the situation, is keeping his eyes on Christ. Didn't matter if he was thrown in jail. Didn't matter if he was shipwrecked. Didn't matter if he was stoned to death. Didn't matter if he was beaten. Didn't matter if he was shackled. Ultimately, it didn't matter that he was beheaded. Paul went in confident. He sang in jail. He praised God. He wrote these letters of rejoicing in the Lord always, because he was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see here, a good soldier, a quality of a good soldier, brothers and sisters, is what attitude and what mindset that soldier has. It's not how well the soldier fights in the battle. It's his attitude and mindset in relation to his leader. That is the key. That is what makes all the difference, being a good soldier. The same principle applies for dealing with victory over sin. Many times we fail in overcoming sin is because we fail in implementing the formula of success that Jesus gave us. For example, I'll tell you what I mean, just to be practical here, because this is personal, individual, and collective for all of us, and in the things we will face as far as the world is concerned. Many times, the battle with temptations that are, with the sins that are our weakness, the battle with that is many times determined long before we meet actual temptation. We wait We are busy with our life and busy with this and that, and a temptation comes and our mindset and our heart is unprepared. And we look for resources then and there to try and meet the temptation. We try and react. We try and fight. It's like we're thrown in the middle of the battle and we try to, oh, oops, battle, and we try and react. And we fail because we have failed in preparing beforehand. Let me tell you something. Victory over sin and temptation happens not when the temptation and the sin comes knocking at your door. It happens long before. It happens with your determination, your commitment, setting your face like a flint long before you meet the temptation. Victory over sin is not something that materializes then and there. What the temptation does when the temptation comes, what the temptation seeks to accomplish is really a challenge to your determination. It's a challenge to your standing, to your commitment. This is what the temptation does. It's not fighting then and there. The fight is long before. If you determine in your mind, in your heart, under the leadership of Christ, he has defeated all sin. He has given you his life of victory. You have all these victories already, and you are cheerful in that. You are grateful for that. You are confident in that. There's no temptation yet. And you really embody that. That occupies your thinking and your mind. Guess what happens when you meet a temptation? You've already defeated it long before the temptation came. You realize that? And the difference, the inverse is also true. If you neglect to focus on Christ and see Christ, and your attitude or mindset is affected thereby, let me just make sure we mute all the mics. I'm just hearing some noise. If you neglect that and you look elsewhere, and then all of a sudden you meet a temptation, well, guess what? Your mindset has not been prepared, is not predetermined beforehand. You are many times unprepared, and then you worry. Oh, but if I meet this temptation, what will I do? I'm not sure. I'm a little bit weak. I'm a little bit this. And it's a revelation of what mindset you have. The battle with sin and victory over sin, brothers and sisters, is not when the temptation hits and you face it and how you react then. The battle is now, long before the temptation comes. Victory over sin is the battle is simply the confrontation and the testing of your resolve, your commitment, your faith in the only begotten Son. Big difference. Your attitude and your approach before the circumstance determines the outcome. Don't wait too late. Don't wait till you face temptation to say, oh, I'll remember the promise or I'll ask God to help me then. God's already helped you now. The victory you have already now. You need to be accustomed to that. This is what faith practically is all about, is to influence our thinking, our mindset, what occupies our mind. If we're looking to the leader all the time, if we are rejoicing in his victory, knowing that what the worst, I don't care what it is, the worst sin, your terrible addiction, your habitual sin, the one that you are the weakest in, the one that nobody knows about, whatever it is already been defeated in Christ. He gave you this victory now. If you absorb that, lay a hold by faith on that, let it shape your mindset, your attitude, your thinking, so that you have no fear of this temptation, this sin. It's already been defeated in Christ. And this is what you occupy your mind with day in and day out, daily, thinking on Christ. Guess what will happen when you actually meet that temptation? It's already defeated long before then. But if you fail to do so, and you just, you know, here and there, and wonder, oh, but this temptation is really strong, I should try, you know, be careful, I'll just pray that God will give me strength then, and the temptation comes, well, guess what, you haven't been prepared. Your mindset and your outlook is not one of a good soldier, but of a soldier who tries to scamper, you know, at the last minute, and guess what, the outcome can already be predicted. You will fall under that temptation. I don't need to ask for a show of hands, I don't need to ask you, have you done that? We have all experienced that. Some to a greater or lesser degree, because we're human. We take our eyes off Christ. We fail. My challenge, my reminder for you today is simply this. Let us utilize the time now of peace, where there is no battle. There is no temptation facing us every single minute of every day. There is a lot of peace. There is a lot of time to reflect, to connect, to build up our confidence and our cheer in Christ in preparation for the confrontation. So don't wait for the battle to see what the outcome will be. The battle is determined now by your attitude, by recognizing what Paul says here, giving thanks because we have the victory already in Christ. That's what makes all the difference. I want to look at another component of victory. There's so many verses here. I want to read another one in this regard. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Paul's attitude again. Thanking God. This is another verse in another time, another place. What is Paul revealing here? Paul is revealing a consistent mindset that he had. You know, we look at the Apostle Paul and think, what a great apostle. Look at the lengths that he went. Look at the ends of the world he traveled. Look at the trials he faced. Many of us, you know, we shudder to think of the experiences that Paul went through. Thinking that would be a little bit hard, you know, shipwrecked or stoned to death or whipped or having a snake bite me or thrown in prison with the shackles and all the different experiences, or even facing the sword of the soldiers who beheaded Paul. Sorry, you know, some of us don't even experience that. Here is Paul's mindset that enabled him, under the leadership of Christ, to be used as a good soldier. Christ knew that Paul's attitude and mindset enabled him to withstand whatever the devil threw at him. So guess what? Paul was in the thick of battle. He was following closely behind Christ. We're coming to a battle, brothers and sisters. And honestly, to a large degree, the army is scattered. Christ's army, his people, his body, that's us, brothers and sisters, to a large degree, are scattered. Some are trying to hide. Some are trying to wonder how they're going to get out of the fight. Some are saying, I hope I die before the thing comes. And we really need to wake up and realize what we're facing. The devil is marshaling his troops for the final and all, the really big one. And it seems like God's people are looking on that and thinking, uh-oh, oh boy, what am I going to do? And we're forgetting what we have, brothers and sisters. Christ warned us of this time. He prepared us for this time. He says, listen, this is coming. I've done. I've dealt with it. Don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. Your worry, your concern, you just be of good cheer and take a hold of what I've given you. Then I can trust to put you in the thick of battle, knowing that Satan can have nothing against you. This is what Christ is looking for these days. This is the whole point. Victory or defeat, which one will you be? Many of us, I fear, are preparing for defeat, indirectly, subtly, you know, kind of in an underhanded way. In our mind, we're preparing for defeat. We want to avoid a hard time. Look, a hard time is not, it's tribulation, it's trouble, it's hardness. But Christ's purpose is not that we avoid it. He says, listen, I'm going to go through you with it. You don't worry about that. You just worry about me. Christ is looking, brothers and sisters, for his soldiers who have already determined that victory in their mindset, in their heart, in their commitment, by setting their face like a flint. That's what Jesus did to accomplish victory for us. That's what we're facing. So we need to fear and be in worry and trepidation over the plans and the preparations of the enemy. Let them prepare what they want. Let them cook up whatever laws, whatever drugs, whatever plans they have. Let them cook up. No problem. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ, and he has won and defeated the enemy. He has won the battle. He has defeated the whole world. And he told us that beforehand. So where are the victorious soldiers of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. They're not going to materialize then and there in the future when trouble hits. That's not when they were materialized. They materialize now. They are made now. They are ready now. They're prepared now to go into battle. As a matter of fact, I fully believe God is delaying the battle because most of his soldiers are not ready. You know, if Alexander was to go into the battle, soldiers were not ready, half asleep, worried about his family, wondering what's going on, looking around, looking elsewhere, not ready for the battle, Alexander would have lost. Christ has won the battle already. He's saying, just follow me to that victory. I know the path to navigate through this battle scene that will give you assured victory. Don't try and look for the path and work it out in your own strength, in your own mind, in your own intelligence, in your own means, and I don't know what. And I'm telling you, there's so many discussions I've had with people prepping this and prepping that. And it's good to prep, don't worry. But if this is your confidence and assurance in how you will make it through that trial, I have a surprise for you. This is not a battle of flesh and blood. The final battle is a spiritual battle. It's a battle that is determined by Christ. He is the only way to win that battle. There are so many people in the world, they're not even Christians, who are doing even more than many of us are doing. Preppers, end time preppers, right? With bunkers and guns and I don't know what. And this is how they feel they are preparing for the battle to come. This is how they feel they're going to try and win. Christ's method is a supernatural method. He says, listen, I know the path. You just keep your eyes on me. You focus on me. Don't be too disturbed or perturbed by the trouble that they're cooking up for you. You just keep your eyes on me. I will navigate you through that, and you will come on the other side bright as gold. Tried through a fire, but you will come out on the other side. Let's not try, brothers and sisters, in our own strength, in our own power, in our own determination. Let us spend our energy and our time focusing on Christ. That is what really matters. That is the key. Victory is not going to happen then. It happens now, in our preparation now. Victory or defeat, where is your mind? That's the challenge. That's the question. So, I've made the point pretty clear, I think. I want to encourage you with that. The victory that we have, of victory over sin, and that Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians, the victory that God gives us through our Lord Jesus Christ is imparting to us the life of Christ, in full possession of all these victories. Victories over sin, besetting sin, and addictions, and trouble, and trial. Grasping a hold of that makes a difference for us individually, for our experience with sin, but also, not just sin and all these things, but also the things we will meet in the world physically, with the law, with the authorities, which Jesus says they will be turned against us at one point. We need to be good citizens as far as lies possible, so long as it doesn't conflict with the commands of Christ. We need to go forward following Him. We might be citizens of the various nations and kingdoms that we belong to here, but our kingdom, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, otherwise my servants would fight. Our kingdom is not our citizenship here. We are only ambassadors. Our real king, the one that we follow, is Christ. His law, His rule, His direction overrides anything and everything. This is what we really need to be worried about going into the last day. This is where our focus and our attention needs to be. Here's how Paul puts it. Romans 6 and verse 11. This reckoning. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. He says here, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does he mean when he talks about reckoning here? Paul talks about reckon. He says, reckon yourselves dead unto sin. It means determine in your mind. Set it. Let it be fixed in your heart that this is where you are. You are dead as far as sin is concerned. Sin and all its expressions, whatever the devil might throw at you from the world, the things of the world, whatever temptation that might come, long before you meet it, you need to reckon something in your mind that you are dead to this old way, this old method, this old approach of trying to deal with it. You are dead to that. You need to reckon that you are something else as far as Christ is concerned. You are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Quite simply, what Paul is revealing here is that victory over sin, victory over the world, has much to do with your mindset and your attitude. It's all about faith. Because we read earlier, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God is not just believing that he was begotten of the Father, like we teach and preach. That's more than that. It's taking that belief and applying it personally. Believing that he's the Son of God as your Lord and Savior. That the Son of God himself is your Savior. The Son of God is the one that gives you life. It's his life. You are alive to God through him. His life is what you have. Not your old dead life. So reckon yourself dead to that sin, that attitude, that approach, that effort at trying to deal with sin and the world and all these things. And you need to be in a totally different category. You need to be in a totally different mindset, a different determination and a commitment. Brothers and sisters, the key to victory has to do with where our heart is at now. Not then when the trouble comes. The then when the trouble comes will only reveal what condition your heart was already in. It will just uncover what was there. It won't make it as, this is not the time when you try and, you know, scamper resources and scamper a little bit of faith and mount up the faith and try and, that's too late. The trouble and the trial and the battle and the conflict will determine what mindset you had beforehand. This is the key where Israel lost. This is how Christ won. This is how the three Hebrew boys won. And this is the challenge. This is the reminder I want to remind each and every one of us. Because, look, the best, it's real. We're seeing the approaching trouble, and it's very real. And so a lot of people are thinking, are reflecting, are talking, are considering, are wondering, are even praying, Lord, let me die, please, you know? And I understand that some people who might be older or frail or in a certain circumstance, the Lord in His mercy will do that for them. I understand. I'm not trying to knock that. But we don't need to all pray that prayer and all die. God has to have a people who will go through a time of trouble. Here are the keys. Victory or defeat beforehand, not waiting when it happens. So, let's avoid the easy path, the path that human nature will seek, that's many times an expression of the flesh. Let us just be alive unto God in Christ. Wherever He leads, whatever might be thrown our way, no need to worry. Trust in Him. So, our last verse sums it up really well. Let me put that up and we'll close with this. And it's in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Here is how Paul expressed his whole summary of his attitude. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's mindset, Paul's attitude, Paul's approach to life, to the world, was that he was crucified. He's dead. As far as he was concerned, as a soldier, he has been recruited into the army of Christ. He died, whatever previous existence he had is dead. Now he is alive, but Christ is the one that lives in him. Paul was a soldier. I want to put this out. I don't want you to miss this picture. Who became an extension of the commander. You with me? Paul's point here in this verse is that he is dead. He's crucified. Christ now lives in him. In this army, Paul was a good soldier who was an extension of the commander. The commander was not afar off and Paul is trying to follow. No. Paul was an extension of the commander, and as such, he was victorious already when that happened, long before he faced the battle. That's the key about following Christ. It's not like Alexander and his army that we try and keep our eyes on and follow him. There is a supernatural miracle that happens, brothers and sisters. The miracle is the commander actually imparts to you his life. He dwells in you. You become a soldier in his army, a member of his body, an extension of him. So his victory is literally yours. His victory over Satan and over the world is yours. If you are crucified with him and you are now alive, but not now alive yourself, as Paul says, Christ is the one that lives in you. So the life you live now is by faith in the Son of God. The army of Christ, brothers and sisters, is not like any army in the world or the pictures that we see in the world. The army of Christ is where the life of the commander is in every single good soldier. They are all an extension of him. They are his body, literally. And so when he leads them through this final battle, he is simply leading them through the victory that he already obtained. It is now being relived or realized in his life again, in his body. So preparation for the last days, being a good soldier, is all about making sure, as Paul says here, that you are dead, that you are crucified with Christ, that you are living by faith in him. You are an extension of him. So I want to leave it at that. I think I've made the point pretty clear. The army of Christ is his body. Are you a good soldier in this preparation time, or are you a soldier working in your own strength? What mindset, what attitude do you have? That is what will determine what will happen to you in the final battle. Are you connected with Christ truly, so that you can follow him seamlessly through whatever trouble? And look, I don't need to recount to you all the miracles that Christ did with the disciples and apostles and all the times he pulled them out of trouble like a hare, you know, out of the dough, you know, just unexpected miracle, unexpected circumstance. So following Christ's footsteps, being a soldier in his army, expect the unexpected. We determine things based on what we know and what we normally expect humanly. We need to face this trial knowing that we are to expect the unexpected, not just from the enemy, but also from our commander, from our leader. So expect the unexpected. Expect great things. Expect miracles. Prepare now. Your mindset, your heart condition, your connection with Christ now is what makes all the difference. That's the key. Victory or defeat, where is your mind? I'll leave it at that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful that indeed the battle has been won already in Christ. We are so thankful that we have such a conquering Savior, that he has said, I have overcome the world. That through him, we are more than conquerors. Not that we can become more than conquerors or that one day we will be more than conquerors, but we already are more than conquerors through him. Help us, dear Father, we pray. Help us to direct our eyes at the right place that we need at this time. There are so many people who are looking every which way, and there's so much discouragement. The devil is terrifying people, even believers. And I just pray that you will set our eyes on Christ steadfastly, that we will determine now, that we will be steadfast now in our resolution, in our resolve, in our confidence in Christ. This is not about our willpower. It's not trusting in our will to navigate this, but trusting in our commander, in his victory, in staying connected with him. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it is true. I thank you that you have heard our prayer and that we can have this time together. And I just pray all these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
I pray you were blessed by this video. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, like, Turn notifications on, and most importantly, share this video with others. May God the Father richly bless you in Jesus.